Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
This morning, I want to start a new series of messages that we're calling Dialogue. We're talking about some of our most important conversations. We're going to talk about the conversation we have with ourselves. We're going to talk about the conversation we have with God in worship next week. It's going to be a little different next week. And then the following week, we're going to talk about our conversations in prayer and what prayer really looks like, what prayer really means. But this morning, I want to start that off by talking about our mind and our thoughts. Throughout the course of this series, what I want to do is I want to mix it up just a little bit. One of the things I love about Thursday nights at Celebrate Recovery is reading the principles out loud. I think there's power in that. I think there's power in reading something out loud. I think there's power in repetition. I think there's power in it because it helps you memorize it, but there's also power in saying it together. So over the course of this series, I want us to read kind of the key verses out loud together every week. And my hope is not that you just read them here and then kind of forget about them throughout the week, but you remind yourself of them. We're going to give you some tools as this series goes on to help you memorize them, but put them somewhere where you can recite them over and over and over again. But we're going to do it every week together. Does that sound good? Now, some of y'all are speed readers. Y'all got to slow down. Some of you are slow readers. You got to kick it up just a notch. And as I read this, listen, First Service did not follow me as their leader, okay? So we need to read this together, okay? My cadence may be weird, but I have the microphone. Y'all understand? All right. Philippians 4:4 through 7 says this: Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, situation, by prayer. I'm just kidding. We'll go back. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Y'all did good. I want us to key in on that last verse right there, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the part that I want us to key in on today. I'm going to kind of lay the groundwork for this thing, and this is my title. Y'all ready? Change the algorithm. Change the algorithm. How many of you know what an algorithm is? Anybody know what an algorithm is? All right, I'm going to explain it because there's not a ton of hands. An algorithm, there's several different contexts for an algorithm, but most of the time when we hear of the word algorithm, it's a social media thing. So this is a definition, and I'll explain it in just a second, but an algorithm, as far as social media networks go, is a set of rules and signals that automatically ranks content on a social platform based on how likely each individual social media user is to like it and to interact with it. In other words, an algorithm is the thing behind the scenes that feeds you your content on social media. So the things that you interact with, the things that you pay attention to, that you like, that you watch, it tells the algorithm, show them more of that thing. So this is why, y'all, it's not a good idea to get your news off of Facebook. It's feeding you what you want to hear. How many times did Betty White die before she actually died on Facebook? And do you know why that kept popping up in your feed? Because you had interacted with something similar along those lines in the past. And so what an algorithm does is it feeds you things based on what you've interacted with in the past and what you've paid attention to and what you like. That's why sometimes you can see something pop up and you're like, I don't follow them. I don't know anything about this. The reason why it pops up is because their content is similar to what you have interacted with in the past, because social media platforms, they want you to have more interaction, because then people will buy more ads and they make more money. It's all in the algorithm. I wonder, what is your mind's algorithm? What are the thoughts? What are the ideas? What are the things about you that go through your mind because you've replayed them so much and you've interacted with them so much? I know for me, if I'm not fighting to change it, my algorithm says things like, you're not smart enough. Why would anyone want to listen to you? You don't have anything to offer. You know, you should really be a better husband. Your kid should be perfect. He should have like the whole Bible memorized by now. I blew up at him last night, and you know what the algorithm told me? Why are you getting up to preach in the morning? You can't even live it. I wonder if any of that resonates with you. If maybe your algorithm says, I'm ugly, I'm just a mom, just a dad, just a kid, I'm just a deadbeat, I'm alone, I'll always be alone. I'm just not good with money. I'll never be good with money. What if your algorithm says I'm addicted? I'm an alcoholic. And then sometimes the algorithm doesn't give us specific words, but it gives us specific phrases to start our lives with, based off of our past, based off of our insecurities. Maybe it's something from childhood. Maybe it's just what life has seemingly taught you. And so your algorithm isn't a specific word, but it starts with I don't even, or I just don't. Or why do I? Or I should? Or I shouldn't? What I know this morning is that without Philippians 4, those verses in Philippians 4, without having truth, our mind will feed us lies and negativity. And what makes this really, really difficult is that sometimes the lies and the negativity we almost wear like a blanket because they're comfortable, don't we? Isn't it sometimes just easier to believe the lies and to surrender to the lies instead of trying to change them? If I believe I'm just not good with money, I don't have to get any help with my finances. If I believe I'll just always be alone, I am a lonely person, I'm alone, I never have to make any effort to make any relationships. If I believe I'm stupid, I'm just not smart enough, then I don't ever have to try. I don't ever have to learn. Sometimes it can almost be easier just to wear these lies and the algorithms that are in our mind. It can be almost easier just to sit in them rather than trying to change things, because even though we know it's not good, it's comfortable, and change is hard. Let's say that you've been watching cooking videos on Facebook. You're scrolling through Facebook. You're on cooking video number 10. Does that sound extreme, Elaine?
No, I
need to watch the food channel. Okay. Let's say you're on cooking video number 10, and you're sitting there on the couch. Now, Facebook continues to feed you cooking videos. Why? Because of the algorithm. Because you've interacted with it in the past. And let's say 10, 15 go by, and you have the thought, you know, I should really be doing something more productive. I should really go do laundry. Or maybe you think, you know, my family's in this room. I should probably talk to them instead of watching cooking videos. But what do? You continue to scroll the cooking videos. Why? Because the algorithm has you in a place where it's more comfortable to be in the middle of that than it is to change and interact with or be productive with the people around you. And many of us this morning are missing out on the peace of God because of the patterns of our thinking. Because you have gotten sucked into the algorithm of the enemy, and you're missing out on the peace of God because of the patterns of your thinking. It's not necessarily that your circumstances are causing you to live without peace. As difficult as your circumstances may be, they're not the reason that you don't have peace. As difficult as your relationships may be, and people are difficult, don't raise your hand because I may be sitting beside you. People are difficult, but as difficult as those people may be, they're not the thing that's robbing you of your peace. The thing that's robbing you of your peace is the patterns of your thought. Philippians 4, if we would have kept reading after verse 7, says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So obviously, to get the peace of God, we've got to change the algorithm. We've got to change our thoughts. I want us to really quickly look at a story in the Old Testament. This is a complete summary of this story, and it's not necessarily about a battle in the mind, but it's about an actual battle. But I think there's a few key things that we can take out of this story and apply it to this idea of changing our algorithm and changing our mindset and changing the lies and bringing in truth. Just to kind of set it up a little bit, King Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. He was a good king. He was a godly king. He wasn't perfect, but he was a godly king. And this story we're about to hop into, he's gotten word that basically three opposing armies are going to surprise attack Judah. Judah's army, he knows, isn't big enough to withstand this attack apart from God, because their army is small. Their army is weak. This is a perfect opportunity for the algorithm to set in, for bad things to start happening, for him to get into a negative mindset. But he fights back. Look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 2. It says, "Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar,'" that is in Gedi. So this is the moment of panic, right? He's gotten news that these opposing armies are coming to attack. He knows he has a small army. This is the time for panic, right? And it's oftentimes in these moments of sudden change, when somebody gets sick, when we lose a loved one, when we lose a job, when we get bad news, it's oftentimes in these moments of panic that the enemy begins to implant the lies into your mind, begins to whisper them into your ear. Have y'all ever noticed that? How we're the roughest on ourselves in the toughest of times. And so what can really, really easily happen is something can kind of shake the foundations of our lives. And that is often the times when the algorithm begins to take over, feed us lies, because where do we go when we get bad news? We always go to worst case scenario, don't we? And if we're not careful, it's in those moments that the enemy will begin to implant the algorithm into our mind to get us thinking lies and thinking things that aren't true. This could very well be this situation for Jehoshaphat, but it's not. Look at verse 3. It says, "Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him." So notice, the first thing they do is they pause. They pause. When a sudden thing happens, get bad news, something gets rocky, something gets unstable, we have to get to the place where we break the cycle and break the algorithm and we pause. We take a time out. Now, if I'm Jehoshaphat in this situation and I'm these people, I'm gonna gather up every stinking weapon I got, right? I don't have the army to compete with these people, but I'm gonna die trying. Let's white knuckle this thing. Grab your swords, grab your ammo, grab your slingshot, grab your Nerf guns, whatever you got, and let's go take them out. But instead they pause and they take a time out. It would have been really, really easy for them in this moment to start trying to find the solution. It would have also really been easy for them to let the algorithm take over. For Jehoshaphat to have said, "Forget it, we're doomed. We're not strong enough. We're not big enough. We have no chance. We're not smart enough. We are going to die." Or to even blame God, right? To let that algorithm begin to play. "God, our king's godly. God, I thought we were your people. God, why would you let this happen?" But instead, they pause. Sometimes our lack of peace is a result of our refusal to pause. Because what do? We go seek out answers when something happens, right? And so we try to get more information, we try to make more phone calls, but sometimes you need to pause first to stop the thoughts before they're allowed to even replay for the first time. Because what happens? You begin to dwell on the what ifs, don't you? What if nothing ever changes? What if this does take me out? What if we do get divorced? What if they do die? And so it begins to replay over and over again. You've got to take a time out. And we're not very good at pausing in today's culture, are we? We're not very good at pausing anything. We're not very good at having time, even quiet time, right? We're always being programmed what to think, whether it's about what we're listening to or what we're watching. We have to take a pause. And notice what they do during this pause. It says that they fasted. Now, I'm not saying that every time a negative thought comes into your mind, you can't eat. Because if I said that, y'all would all walk out these doors right now and start throwing stuff at me. But what I am saying is when you find yourself in a rocky situation and the negative thoughts and the lies, you can tell that they're starting to play out in your mind. You need to pause and you need to think about what you're thinking about. You need to think about what you're thinking about. Did you catch that? You need to pause. And you need to retreat and you need to think about what you're thinking about. There has to be something in your mind that says, this is not right. I've got to withdraw and I've got to come to God. Notice what he does next. Verse 5 says, then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? So they pause, and then he begins to pray. And it wasn't just what he prayed, or it wasn't just that he prayed, but it was also what he prayed. Notice when he begins praying, he begins reminding everyone and himself of the truth of who God is, right? He says, God, you've been faithful. God, you've been faithful in the past. God, you've been good to us in the past. God, you've shown your power on our behalf in the past. And so he begins to remind his people and himself of the truth. It's in these moments where these lies are going through our mind that there's something about knowing the one who has the answers. When the lies are telling you, you're no good, this is out of control, this isn't going to end well, there's something about you praying and reminding yourself of who has the answers that, yes, this may not be good, but I know someone who can make it good. Yes, this may be a lie that's in my head, but I know a good God who says it's not true. When you know who holds the future, it changes your place of mind of the present, right? So we pause, we pray, and we begin to declare who God is. God, you're strong. God, you've been faithful. God, you have a track record with me. God, even though I've gone through some difficult times, you've brought me this far. We remind ourselves of who God is, and we also remind ourselves of who we are. Because the number one thing the algorithm, the lies of the enemy will tell you, is it'll tell you how sorry you are. So we have to remind ourselves that even though, but for the cross, right? Even though all that stuff may have some truth to it, I may have messed up. I may be alone right now, but I have to remind myself that I am not lonely because my God is always with me, that I may have messed up, but it does not define me because my God has forgiven me, because the enemy will never show you that side. So when your mind starts feeding you lies, you have to remind yourself of who God is and who you are. You have to say, God, I know this isn't true, but I'm overwhelmed with the negative thoughts right now. Because something powerful will begin to happen as you pray that. And I don't know how to explain it, but the peace of God will begin to overtake the lies of your mind. Prayer puts us in a space to be rewired by God. Here's some research I found on what prayer does for the brain. This is from Andrew Newberg, who led a study in which MRI brain scans prove that there's power in prayer and meditation. It says, the art of prayer is thinking deeply and focusing on something you want to happen while generating the feeling of gratitude as if it's already happened. It's not simply offering words and hoping they get fulfilled. You have a bigger part to play than that. And that part is how well you intentionally generate, hold, and radiate thought and emotion. That concentrated thought changes your brain, then your body, then your reality. And here's the key part. Even though toxic thought causes brain damage, prayer can reverse that damage and cause the brain and body to thrive. There is growing interest in the power of prayer to change our brain and even matter itself. Even though science is proving this, as Christians, we have known this for years based on what we read in the Bible and personal experience. Your body is literally wired for prayer to change your thoughts. So after Jehoshaphat finishes his prayer and gets some encouragement from some of his leaders, verse 20 says, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Pause, pray, and then they proclaimed. There's something powerful, y'all, about speaking the truth out loud, about praising God and speaking his truth out loud. And I know that's weird for some of you. Some of you that aren't believers in the room, you're thinking Christians were already looked crazy. Now they're talking out loud to themselves. How weird is that? I understand how it can be weird to proclaim, to say truth out loud at first. But there's actually a term in culture called self-talk. Well, this is a lot like that, but this isn't self-talk. This is truth talk. And so something powerful happens when we begin to speak the truth out loud. And that's what Jehoshaphat gets these people to do, to praise God and to speak the truth out loud. And I know in those shaky times where negativity comes flooding in, where you jump to worst case scenario, I know what can be easy, because once again, the lies can be comfortable. It can be really easy for you to say and speak negativity out loud over your situation and over yourself and over your family. You will say things about yourself that you would never let anybody say about anybody else, don't you? And you say it out loud. So the temptation is just to say it out loud. To just say it out loud and to agree with it. But here's the thing. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. So the things that you and I speak out loud over our situations, over ourselves, and over people around us can become created in the physical world. So we have to be careful. When you speak out loud, be careful. I know it's really easy to speak the negative. But what happens when you speak the negative? What happens? You hear it, you say it again. You hear it, you say it again. It is literally wiring your brain on multiple levels to believe the lies and to fall into the algorithm. But what happens when you speak truth? When you speak truth out loud. The other day, I had been away from my phone for 2 minutes. I couldn't find it. I had no idea where it was. But you know that I can tell you every single word to songs that I listened to in high school? Yeah. Do you know why? Because I've heard them out loud. You remember. And your brain retains what you hear out loud. So you have a choice in these algorithm moments. What will I speak? Will I speak the truth of God, even if I don't really feel it right now? Will I speak the truth of God? Would that become the thing that my mind focuses on? Or will I speak the lies of the enemy? Because you're speaking something, and it's doing something right in front of you. Yes. So here's the end of the story. Verse 22 says, as they began to, and this is really cool. I'll explain it if you don't get it right away. It says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So basically, y'all, what happened was one of them attacked the other one, and those two attacked each other. Isn't that something? It's like siblings. Verse 24 says, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could even take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it all. Talk about changing an algorithm, changing a situation. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to get gold when you change your thoughts. I'm not saying anybody's getting annihilated. If so, you misunderstood me. But what I am saying, if you'll do this and you'll watch what you're thinking about, the spoils of victory will be the peace of God begins to come into your life. How? You pause. You stop the algorithm. You stop the cycle of lies in your mind. There has to be something that triggers you to step back, to take a time out, and to recognize it. You pray. You remind yourself of the truth of who God is and who you are, and you rewire your brain. And then you proclaim. You proclaim the truth about God, the truth of the Bible, and the truth about yourself. And listen, I know this isn't easy, y'all. This isn't gonna happen like you're not gonna go home this afternoon and do this one time and forever. Your mind is gonna be, your algorithm's gonna be changed and you're gonna be focused on God 100% of the time. This is a daily, daily battle. Just a couple of days ago, I was going to work on this message and I found myself literally about to speak the lies that were in my head. And had the car in front of me not stopped suddenly and woke me up, I would have done that same thing. I am still fighting these battles, y'all. I've been fighting these for years, but you have to keep fighting. Do not wallow in the muck of your own mind. Proclaim the truth. Let God rewire your brain and fight. Fight the battle in your mind. It's worth it, y'all. Do not give up. Do not give up hope. Do not give up truth. Do not quit proclaiming the truth. Do not quit proclaiming the Bible, because there is freedom from the algorithm. Maybe the truth that you proclaim could be Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see why we're memorizing those verses? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you a chance to respond to the grace and the love of Jesus. Because you've never had weapons at your disposal to fight against a lack of peace. You've never had the truth of Jesus. Your life has felt like a losing battle and your mind has felt like a losing battle. This morning, Jesus has been knocking at the door of your heart. He's been so gentle with you. He loves you so much, but he wants you to believe him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to give your life to him. If that's you this morning, you can just make this confession. Say, Jesus, I know I've let you down. I know I've sinned. I know I've missed the mark. But I believe that you're the answer. I believe you came to earth, that you are God's child. I believe you died on a cross, but for the cross. I believe you rose 3 days later, and so I put my trust in you. I confess you as my Lord, as the boss of my life. I'm going to do my best to follow you. I'm going to find out more. I'm going to not be perfect, but I'm going to love you. Thank you for loving me. God, I pray for the people right now who are fighting the battles in their minds. God, you know what those battles are. You know the lies that they have believed for so long. God, would you change their algorithm? Lord, teach them your truth. Let your truth settle into their spirit. Let it be deeper than just their mind. Let it settle into their spirit. God, so they can fully realize who they are in you. God, thank you for truth. Thank you for love. God, thank you for this amazing church. Thank you for showing up so apparently this morning. May we never quench that. May we never get numb to you, Holy Spirit. Lord, teach, bless these people. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.